character, which I think is awesome. Like, he's like, all right, I hear you. It's all going to be good here. So, and I think I see that a lot, this next section here, like if I, over the years, I like punish the kids or something, and it's, you got to punish kids. I hate doing it. And I can be a pretty good punisher. I feel bad afterwards. It's like, and I remember this one time, Mitchell was probably, 3 years old or something. It was probably like the first time like he ever really got punished. I got on him. I'm sorry, Mitchell. But he won't even remember this. But I don't even know what he did. But I felt so bad. Like the next day, I was at work, and I just felt like the worst dad ever. And I went and bought him a barrel of monkeys, a toy. And I brought it home, and my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I feel bad. I want him to feel better. I want to give him something. That's what God's going to do to us. So he's going to I repent, and make us feel better. He's really hating me right now. I love it. He's like, wish I went out back. So, the people right now of Judah, they're mourning. They're shameful. They're embarrassed. Like, oh, what have we done? And I know I feel that way too often, to be truthful with you. So they know they need to repent. God's going to, tells us we need to repent throughout. So I just think that's awesome that's God's character. That he just wants so much for us. I know I'm flying through this. I'm going to cut off real quick here because I was late. The first song had started, and I went down to Stacy, and this is no joke. I'm like, I'm preaching today, and they're like, hey, all right, her and Kyle and Sam. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm like, no, it's not, because when I get up there, I say about half of what I got prepared. So I'm like, I said, get some snacks and some kids right away, because it's going to go quick. So I apologize. So let's get to the future of Judah here, okay? So this is the good stuff. This is where we start liking Joel. All right? So, still wait. I love it. All right, so we're going to read real quick Joel 2:18 through 17. So, then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain, new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern hordes far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land. Its eastern ranks will drown in the Dead Sea, and its western ranks in the Mediterranean Sea. Its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals. For pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. God says, I'll repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm. My great army that I sent among you, you will have plenty to eat until you are full. You will praise the name of the Lord your God, who's worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be ashamed. So there's God taking care of us. He's gonna take such good care of us. But in that, he's gonna take care of us if we repent. If we live our lives through God, if we're with Jesus. He tells you here what's gonna happen to the people that don't. They're gonna drown in the Mediterranean, they're gonna be pushed into here. It's so gross. Their stench will go up and the smell will rise. I mean, he's going to let them just mill around and do their own thing. They're gone, So we definitely don't want to be that guy. But you know, it's just, I love that he takes pity on us. And like I told you a little story about Mitchell there, you know, just that's just the way that God is. He's so strong and powerful, but so gentle and kind all in one. Psalm 35, verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for a night, but joy comes with the morning. So it's going to hurt. It's hard to repent. It's hard to punish your kids. It's hard to be rebuked. All these things are hard, but they're necessary. They're things that we signed up for when we were baptized. And I think it's easy to not remember that a lot. And I know it is for me. And so I think we can't be afraid. We go through hard things, but we can't be afraid. We got to be glad. We got to be glad that, man, we're gonna be on the good side of this for eternity, not just for the next 50 years, but for eternity. And that it's you know, like the psalm said, it's you know, with Mitchell there, he doesn't remember, but he was probably, you know, I remember yelling at him and probably did some of this and whatnot, but the next morning he probably didn't remember that. He was pretty young, and he got, you know, rewarded for his dad being a sap, really. And not that God's a sap by any means, but he feels us. He doesn't want us to hurt. So you know, if we're great to him, he's going to be so great to us. So you know, again, here he's telling us, you know, here's what we got to do. We got to repent. So I'm going to read Joel 2:28 to 3:21 real quick. Another big chunk here. So this is now here we got God coming. So 2:28. Give me a second here. So the day of the Lord, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. The old men will dream dreams. The young men will see visions. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said. Even among the survivors who the Lord calls. So right there he's telling us, you know, we're going to be saved. Read last year, God's still talking here. In the days of Judah and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they have done to my inheritances, my people in Israel, because they have scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. They cast my lots for people. They traded boys for prostitutes and sold my girls for wine to drink. Now what have you against me, Tyre and Sidon, and all the regions of Philistia? Are you repaying me for something I've done? If you are paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily return on your own heads what I have done. For you took my silver and my gold and carried off my finest treasures to the temples. You sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks, that you might send them far from their homestead. See, I am going to rouse them out of the places to which you sold them. And when I return on your head, and I will turn them on your own heads what I have done, I will sell your sons and your daughters to the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, a nation far away. The Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Rouse your warriors. Let all the fighting men draw near and attack. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the walking say, I am strong. Come quickly, all you nations from the other side, from every side who assembled here. Bring down your warriors, Lord. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, where There I will sit and judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and trample the grapes, for the wine press is full and the vat overflows. So great is their wickedness. Multitudes in all the valley of decisions. For the day of the Lord is near, and in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will darken, and the stars will shine no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and even the heavens it will tremble. The Lord will be a refuge for his people and a stronghold for Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. And that day the mountains will drip new wine, and the hills will flow with milk. All the ravines of Judah will run with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley of the Acacias. But Egypt will be desolate. Edom a desert waste, because of violence done to the people of Judah. In worse land they shed their innocent blood. Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem throughout all generations. Shall I leave their innocent blood unavenged? No, I will not. The Lord dwells in Zion. So here's the Lord. Here's God right now. So, you know, he's rejoicing. You know, it's like I said earlier. It's gonna be so great. We got to change our ways. We got to repent, get back to the Lord, because he spells it out so much there, and I won't get back into it. But just how bad things will be for those who do not repent. You know, the people, they're rejoicing. Need to change our hearts. Yeah, I'm sorry here. Yep. Okay. So in here also, I'm sorry, here we go. In here also, so the Lord God gives us a little threat, a little teaser in there saying, all right, so he's giving us back the good stuff, you know. But if we do this again, it's gonna be worse, you know. It's like, all right, so here's your second chance, if you will, you know. But if you ever do this again, it's gonna be a lot worse. It's just gonna be barren wasteland. It's gonna be, you know, people of Egypt, you know, they didn't have it so good. So we just gotta repent. So where in here is where in Joel is Jesus? So we get the first hint of it here in Joel 2:28. It said, afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all the people. So this God's spirit is Jesus. So God tells us right there in 2:28, he's going to give us Jesus. He tells us how we're going to get Jesus. You know, this is the common theme through Joel. We just need to repent. We need to repent. Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Throughout here also in Joel, you know, 2:12-14, I'll read this one real quick here, sorry. So God even says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. So we got to go to God humbly. We got to be humble. We got to be real. We got to with each other, you know, be real about our sins, be real where we're at with God, good or bad. And everybody's, you know, has the opportunity to do that. So it's pretty simple here. We just need to repent, live our lives through God, and we get Jesus, and not just, again, for this lifetime, but for eternity. But we need to live through God in everything. We got to live for God in our relationships. Our relationships need to be deep with each other and spiritual with each other. They can't just be a good time, fun time. We went away just a few days ago with Joel and Beth, and we had a lot of fun. But it was really cool. We were in a coffee shop yesterday morning, and we're all like, having our D time and getting to the Word a little bit. Joel and I had some time to talk, and it's just, you know, that's what it's about. Just having those connections, to just be real with each other. In our D groups, they're a little rotating and what, like we did a week and a half ago Wednesday. I know I was in a group with Doug, and, you know, he shared some things, and I shared some things that maybe we hadn't really shared with anybody before. I know I hadn't, and it was great. It was great to talk about it and not get advice on it. So, but just to let it out to a listening ear, it helps so much. So we need to live for God in our marriages. We need to bring God into every aspect of our marriage. For those of us that are married, we need to lead our bride how God leads the church. We need to lead by example. We need to lead for our children. My kids should see me reading the Bible. They should see me going to the D groups. They should see me asking for help, and good and bad. You know, it's everything. You know, I've never raised a 14-year-old boy before. I've had issues with. I've talked to Sean, over the years, a couple issues we've had here and there, and it's just great. So rely on these resources in the church. It's not a shameful thing. I remember I was kind of embarrassed once asking for help, and I felt so good afterwards. It's just awesome. So in our marriages, just be the leader. In our family and our households, God should be the basis for everything we do. He should be the basis for all of our decisions, big or small. I know myself over the years, I've been like, I go to God when I got big problems. And God's given me some big problems over the years. A couple, you know, when I'm living good and, you know, like, man, I made some money this year. I remember 9 years ago, you know, I wasn't a disciple yet. I wasn't even studying, I don't think. And, Chris was baptized a year before. I'm like, I don't want anything of that, you know. And like 08 happened in the business world. And it just like, it stunk so bad. And like the year before, I bought a boat. I was doing this. I was, you know, I was the man, you know. I thought, we're going to have some fun. And so the reset, you know, we had our little downturn recession there in business, and that stunk. And there was threat of job loss. And we got through that and prayed. And I was freaking out. And, and so then I started studying with Joel, and things got a little bit better, and, you know, but not quite baptized yet, just kind of wavering there. And then God gives me cancer, and it's like, all right, you know, how many times do I got to, you know, realize, like, this is the path I got to take? And I'll tell you what, there's been some blips, but since I've been a disciple, and I'm not the best disciple, but I've had just an amazing 10-year run, seriously. We had a job loss in there, whatever, but that's no big deal. But even through that, it was like, we're going to be all right. We really were going to be all right. And, it was just amazing, you know, and people were like, oh my God, Chris and I both lost our job, like in the same exit interview. It was crazy. And, people were like, oh, is this the worst day? You know, people that didn't know me here at church, like, this has to be the worst day of your life. I'm like, no, it's not the worst day of my life. I got told I had cancer, you know, a year ago. That's not the worst. The worst day of my life is going to be if I don't change things, there's going to be judgment, and that's not going to be just a day. That's going to be eternity. So I'm up here today. I bought a book this weekend. I saw it yesterday at a bookstore, and I'm like, I need a kickstart. I need something, you know. This was definitely a kickstart preparing for this. But just like a plan to maintain, to keep, you know, get deeper and whatnot. And my wife asked me on the way here, she goes, you know, she goes, you feeling good about this? And I'm like, no, I'm freaking out about getting up there. And she goes, well, why'd you do it? You know, why'd you say yes? And I'm like, and Joel kind of asked me the same thing like the other day too. Like, you know, what made you say yes? And I go, well, you know, you got to do it, guys. We're the men. We got to lead. We got to lead by example. So I'm up here. You know, it's hard. My kids know I'm not a public speaker. I'm sweating up here. This, you know, this is terrible. But I'm just hoping that they're, you know, they'll see this. You know, it was awesome. My daughter told me she prayed for me last night all on her own. You know, I mean, that's worth it right there. But I said, I got to get over it. I can't just come and give 1 minute, you know, communion messages twice a year, you know, or contribution messages. So, you know, if I'm going to be a leader, I got to be a leader. So, and whether it's here, D groups, wherever, guys, we got to take charge, and we got to be the leaders, and we got to be real. So, we got to live for God at work. This is hard for me, because I work in my office. It's not hard, but with the people that work for me, they're all union construction workers, and it's a tough crowd. They're all older, and it's just a tough crowd, and they all know what I'm about, but it doesn't stop them from talking the way they want to talk, from whistling at who they want to whistle at walking down the street. It's a challenge for me every day not to get into that routine and think, yeah, that is kind of funny, you know, or whatever. So it's, you know, and I work my life, thank God. So that's, you know, that keeps me on my toes, but she sees it, you know, and I think she knows it's hard, and she sees me when I do stumble. She sees me when, you know, hey, you shouldn't talk like that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go out with the guys, you know, after work or something. And, so it's again, it's an example thing. It's a lead by example thing. She keeps me on my toes. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Cause I got to, you know, I'm living for these two right now. They're not living for them, but leading them. And, you just gotta be the right person for God. And, cause I want to see these guys in eternity, you know. A friend of mine, John McDonald, most of us know John McDonald, and that guy would preach about eternity like nobody ever knew. I mean, he was always talking about how he wanted to see his kids in heaven. Like, if I knew nothing about John McDonald, I know he's going to see his kids in heaven, because that guy works for it, and I need to work for it, and we all need to work for it. So so we need to just at our workplaces, you know. We make the decision. Do we want to be a good employee, or do we want to be a bad employee? Do we want to, you know, work for God in everything we do, or just kind of phone it in? So, you know, it's hard. I know some of the work out there that we do is kind of mundane and boring, but, you know, it's God put us where we're at to succeed and to do what He wants us to do. So, what's harder than the workplace, especially for me, is living for God in my neighborhood. We live in a neighborhood, most of you know, a lot of you know, it's a typical cookie cutter neighborhood. House. And we have great neighbors. I love a lot of my neighbors. Most of them are good people. But it's hard for me to go, and I'm not the guy to go and knock on the door and, hey, you know, you want to go to church with me? They all know we go to church. You know, they see us, they saw us all getting out today and whatnot, but it's hard for me to, I don't know why, it's, I don't know if it's shame, but it's just hard for me to go to my neighbors and say, you know, hey, you want to come to church? Do you want to come to this little, you know, D group we're having, a Bible study we're having? That stuff just freaks me out. It really does. And I think it's maybe the rejection of it. I think if I had a guy come over, next door neighbor, and say, can I go to church with you tomorrow? I'd be like, yeah, man, this was easy. Let's go, you know. But I'm not the guy to go, you want to go to church with me tomorrow? It's hard for me. So we need to look for opportunities in both the workplace and our neighborhoods to share, to let people know, be the light. Let them know that, you know, who we are, and that we're living for God. And those will come. They'll see something. They'll have troubles in their life like I did. You know, it's like, ugh, nothing's going good. I might as well try this church out, you know. But that's maybe how a lot of us got here, though. That's how I got here. I know that, unfortunately. And I know I'm going so fast, Joel. I'm sorry. So the major and the minor in Joel here is that God wants us, and we need to repent to get to Him. Don't be like the people of Judah. You know, let's not worship false gods. You know, we got to live for God in all we do. We don't want to bring a plague upon ourselves. You know, we see what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be a plague of locusts or how it's going to be, but it's not going to be pretty. You know, the Bible tells us a lot of different ways it's, things are going to happen and how bad things are going to happen. And I just don't want that. I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for anybody out here. I don't want that for people that aren't even here today. Don't bring it upon ourselves, because God will find a way to bring you your own personal plague, like he has me. So let's live for God and for God only. We can have fun. We can have vacations. We can goof around. It's okay to be successful in our careers. It's okay to make money, guys. But it's also okay to have great D groups. It's okay to have great marriages. It's okay to have great prayer time with your children, with your wife. He wants us to do all these things. And he's going to reward us. And it sounds so simple, like all we got to do is this, and we've got eternity. So for me, it's hard, but that's all I got. So I didn't wear a watch on purpose. So I'm going to pray us out. I'm going to invite the singers back up real quick and pray us out. So. God, just thank you so much for this family and this beautiful day, Lord, and for the putting it in me to get up here, God, and just everybody being so open and welcoming and encouraging to me, God. It means so much to me to have this family. God, I just pray that all of us can be like the people of Judah, that we can repent and do the right thing, by you, God, and live through you and for you, God. In every aspect of our life, whether it's work, marriages, relationships, anything, God. We just love you so much, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. You guys are here.